Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for coming to Restore, and welcome to all who is this their first time. Our speaker tonight is Lydia Kapersky. You might know her as Glinda from The Wizard of Oz. She is from Lincoln, Nebraska, and has three siblings. She is involved in show choir, theater, campus ministry. Please welcome Lydia Kapersky.
Hello, everyone. Like Jackson said, my name is Lydia Kapersky, and I'm so honored to share my testimony with you all. I had a difficult time preparing for this because I have a lot that I want to say, and this is only a few snapshots of what the Lord has done in my life. I've heard a lot of testimonies in my time, so I really want you guys to be able to take something from this. But more than that, my goal is to share the authentic Lydia. Side note, the first talk that I ever heard at Pius was actually by Mrs. Ron at my freshman retreat, and I still can remember what she said in it. She was one of the first people who unknowingly impacted my own spiritual journey, and I think that's really, really cool. I'm gonna put a little spin on the typical testimony. A lot of people share how they have moments when they turned everything around. Like, often I hear talks and testimonies use the same phrase, and then I found Jesus. But for me, I never really lost him. I tried to get rid of him many, many times, but I never really lost Jesus. Something I'm really grateful for throughout my life is the way God protected my heart. I was never put in a situation that compromised my dignity or my values. We all have wounds, but you don't have to choose some just because everyone around you does. Additionally, you don't have to have a horribly dramatic thing happen to you in order to have a testimony. My life started off pretty basic. I grew up in St. T's. I had a really strong Catholic upbringing. I loved St. Teresa's. My friends are still some of the closest people in my life. My teachers were amazing. We had great priests. I didn't notice there was anything wrong with my family life. School was easy, and God was one of my favorite people. I had a really strong devotion to St. Therese. I actually wear a necklace with her on it every day. And I learned how to be childlike by following her example. Every year on her feast day, we would dress up as little St. Therese's, so I have a lot of fun pictures of that. If I could summarize all my grade school years into a word, I'd say childlike joy. That's two words, but it's fine. Life was good. Transitioning to Pius felt like being dropped in an ocean, a very dark, loud, and negative ocean. I called my confirmation sponsor to help me gather ideas while I was writing this, and she commented how quickly I seemed to shift after starting my freshman year. She also joked about how she likes roller coasters typically, but not the kind that high school was for me. There just seemed to be an insane amount of pressure all at once that I didn't know how to deal with. Additionally, the people that I was around filled my head with negativity. They spoke horribly about themselves and threw around phrases constantly like, I want to die, life sucks. It's not great to be around all the time. So on one hand, I felt the need to follow suit. But I also started to question my own feelings and their authenticity. I mean, the last thing that I wanted was to just be dramatic or cause problems. Things got pretty bad fast. I developed anxiety and depression, and I couldn't talk about it with anyone. In a weird way, I felt like I was living in a movie. I'd always pictured myself being normal, successful, and happy. But all of a sudden, I was in second semester of my freshman year attending therapy appointments biweekly. Side note, therapy is normal. I just didn't realize it at the time. Next thing I knew, it was sophomore year, and I was put on medication for my anxiety. Now, from the outside, everything probably seemed fine. I continued to have good friends. My choir grade was top tier, okay? And I was pretty successful in my extracurriculars. But I realized I no longer had an authentic light in me. Freshman Lydia was Miss Ray of Sunshine, and that was fake. Sophomore Lydia tried being emo, and neither were sustainable. So who was junior Lydia gonna be? I was constantly searching for my purpose and identity, and I got to a pretty dark place mentally. It's difficult to pinpoint exactly when everything flipped upside down, but life just became really hard. Now, where's the Jesus part, you might be wondering? I'm getting to that. Looking back, it's honestly incredible how perfectly timed each relationship in my life was. I am a slow learner, and he knows that, so he gave me plenty of time to build relationships with the people I'd need later on. One person would be my old school counselor, Mr. Isaacs. It took me over a year to learn to trust him and to actually open up about whatever was going on. His office became my hideaway whenever my anxiety got especially horrid. It was a place I could go daily that, as cringy as it sounds, I felt safe, and I could get out of my own head. I mentioned my confirmation sponsor earlier. Her name's Carolyn. I'm extremely blessed to have her as a regular part in my life. Both her and Mr. Isaacs were people that I could be authentic with about how I felt, and they made me work on honesty a lot. They took the time to help me figure out what I was trying to say. I guess you could say they formed a support system for me, but it's pretty dang hard to support someone who won't tell you what's going on. So apologies for all the conversations with me going in a circle because I hadn't learned how to be vulnerable yet. Keyword is yet, because I have to admit, there was growth, and I eventually learned how to talk. One conversation with Mr. Isaacs that stands out to me is a time when I basically told him I couldn't see the point anymore. I felt totally and completely hopeless. And he had the nerve to ask if I had prayed about it, which to me is like the most annoying question ever. But anyway, I told him that matter of fact, yes, I had gone to the chapel that morning, and I told God all of this earlier, and he didn't give a crap. I said, I know for a fact that God wouldn't care one way or another what I choose to do. And Mr. Isaacs looked at me dead in the eyes, and he said, then you don't know God. That really took me by surprise, but it stuck. It felt harsh, but it rang true. Fast forward to October of my junior year, I was still struggling. I hate the word struggling, but it's like the word that we all use to explain when something sucks. I was struggling more than ever before. I was sent to the psychiatric hospital and spent about 2 weeks in their youth partial program. That was a time and a half. Woo. I went because my parents didn't know what to do. They were scared for my safety, and I needed more help than what my therapist or school could provide. But I didn't see any of that. All I knew is that I was angry. I became bitter and resentful of the people that I thought lived normal lives. I was exhausted from trying to mask my pain and disappointed that God hadn't taken care of it yet. During a conversation with a pretty important adult in my life around that time, I remember getting so frustrated to the point of tears. And I don't like to cry. I felt like a pancake after all the flip-flopping I'd done from caring about my faith to being completely repulsed by it. They were encouraging me to ask God where he wanted to meet me and where to go. And I was like, you want me to just go back? Ask him to meet me here in this whatever it is? I tried that already. Like, I've done that. I almost yelled at them. I was so tired of it all. I was doing all the right things. Why was it so hard? And their response, oof, it made me furious. He said, how about don't do anything? I think maybe we're just to the point where he needs to just do it for you. There's some things in life that we just can't do for ourselves. It made me so angry, I immediately shut it down, but I revisited it recently and I sat with it. If I had been able to receive that message then, like I can now, I wonder how much differently my choices would look. He needs to just do it for you. This is the point in the story where I'm supposed to say God swooped in, took me out of my suffering, and showed me his plan. That didn't happen. I thought I missed it somehow. I mean, being such a good Catholic that I was, I knew how the script went. He was supposed to send me a ladder, and I'd climb out, and everything would be sunshine and rainbows again. But that didn't happen. I continued to feel lost and alone, and basically every other synonym for sad, but also angry. I had the people to make life better and the resources to make life better. Why wasn't it getting better? I was so done. Around April last year, I made some choices that landed me in the emergency room. It was pretty terrible. I kind of thought my life was gonna be over after that. How sad is that, though? To be 16 years old and already make the decision that I was done trying. Well, God didn't accept that because he knew that future me had a lot more work to do. In fact, God sent me one other person that I'm going to mention. So awkward shout out to Father Kovar. I didn't talk about him yet because I wanted him to think that he was off the hook. But unfortunately, I can't tell this story without him. More water. Father Kovar taught me freshman theology and was a crucial member of the support system that I mentioned earlier. But there came a time when he was reassigned to a parish several hours away, and I thought that I wouldn't get to have him in my life anymore. And that sucked. However, God works in mysterious ways, and he got reassigned to Pius halfway through the year. I like to think that the big guy did that just for me. It's difficult to express why he means so much, so I'll finish my story of the hospital visit as a way to paint a brief picture. Not long after getting checked in, Father appeared. I learned later that he actually had dropped his plans for the evening after a message from my mom of what had happened. He sat and talked to me. I don't remember what we actually talked about, but I do know that he stayed for several hours, even after we were moved to the psychiatric unit of the hospital. I know that I was given a coloring book because that's how long they made us stay there. And I got so bored, I just kept cracking jokes about the situation. But Father didn't let me get away with any of them. He responded to each with equally shocking sarcasm. I think he was there for my mom just as much as me. She needed stability, and I needed someone to direct my fear and anger at. He is both the reason I was forced to attend school the next day, even though I didn't get home until nearly 1 a.m., and the reason I can now talk about these experiences. The moment in the hospital is something that I think about often. Even though I refuse to admit it in the moment, whether it be due to my stubbornness, embarrassment, or complete vulnerability blocking acknowledgement of my emotions, I've never felt so loved and protected. My spiritual dad showed up at a moment's notice, knowing exactly how I would feel that he was there, choosing to sit with my mother and I in one of our darkest moments. Now, I'd be lying if I said it was an easy path after that. And hopefully you know by now that I have several wonderful people who beat me over the head reminding me not to lie. To be totally transparent, I'm not even sure what happened in the past year to make me the person in front of you right now. I think it was a lot of little things, but ain't nobody got time for all of that. So what I do know is that I went through a lot, but none of it was enough to scare off God. It was all those experiences that shaped who I am now and how I interact with people. I think the most concrete thing I learned is that every single time I push him away, he waits for me to let him work again. God is a gentleman. That's one of my favorite things about him. He doesn't force his way into your life, but he is so creative when you do let him work. Every single time I stumble, which is daily, he waits for me to come home to him in the sacraments. And boy, do I have to come back so frequently. One thing my therapist recently taught me, well, I'm sure she's been trying to teach me for years, but I'm just now understanding, is that I may never fully lose the darkness, whatever you want to call it, fill in the blank, but I can learn to live with it. God's plan for me may not be to wipe away all suffering from my life, but that shouldn't deter me from living. I think if there's one piece of advice I could give past Lydia, even just a few months ago, I'd tell her to let herself live, both literally and figuratively. I went through 3-ish years of not letting myself experience life the way that we're meant to, and if there's one thing I can leave with all of you, it's that no matter if everything feels so big or you feel so incredibly small, there's good to be found. It doesn't take away from the suck, but it's there. And there are people who want to help you look for it. So no matter how cliche it sounds, let them in, let him in, and let yourself be loved. Thank you.